This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Let's all take a big deep breath, shall we? We've made it through most of winter. There's a little bit of winter left. We're still going to push through this last arse end of winter. But let's take a big deep breath, shall we? Well, Ben started yawning.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Are you all right, Ben?
No, I yawn a lot. I don't know why. I just do. Big yawner.
Oh, you're tired. All right, Dave's on the line. Hey, Dave, what's up, dude?
Morning, Dave. How's it?
Yo, Dave, you got a deep voice, man.
I should be on radio, I guess.
Yeah, what's going on there? You smoker?
Pardon?
Are you a smoker?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, I can hear it.
Yeah. Guys, the hashtag investing, what's going on with that? Is that still running?
Yeah, hashtag invest is still running. In fact, Anthea, she does owe us a little update. I checked on mine the other day and it's gone up. Are you still in there?
I haven't put anything in, but I was planning on putting something in now, but I couldn't find any details.
Well, I'll tell you what. Just send her an email. Send Anthea an email. You can send it to anthea@cartesian.co.za, and then she'll reply to you.
Is that still not running through Easy Equities?
It is. That's the platform we're using, and I know they did have some problems a while back because a lot of people were very unhappy, but they've sorted most of them out, and we've actually got a couple of things coming on board in the next month or two that I will tell you about. Don't worry.
I see.
All right, Dave. Okay. What are you up to today? What do you do for a living, Dave?
Brand communications consultant. I work for myself, basically.
All right, very good. I like that. That's the only way to go, right?
Yeah, pretty much. But it's hell sometimes, though, because you're not always sure what's coming in, etc. But yeah, it's a brilliant way to go, because then you have freedom to do to basically work the way that you want.
Now, have you got staff?
Pardon?
Have you got staff, or is it just you?
No. It's just me and my brother at the moment. But I do have other consultants that I use.
Good for you, man.
I basically outsource.
I like it. It's people like you that keep the economy going.
Yeah.
All right, dude.
Pretty much.
Thanks, Dave.
Cool, man. Thanks a lot, Dave.
There we go. There's Dave on line one. Okay. I got this picture from Inati, who listens to us every morning. Inati took a picture of that billboard in Midrand that ABSA have put up, and they put them up all over the place saying, "Hello, Midrand," with their new logo on. Now, I know that it's very difficult when you do a brand relaunch to get people to like what you've done. But this is so boring, isn't it? Did someone fall down?
Did someone fall?
Did we lost a person?
Is everybody okay? I just heard someone fall down. What happened? Did Nona fall?
I think
Nona,
she did.
What happened?
I'm alive.
What did you do? Did you fall off the chair?
I don't know what happened.
All I heard was...
The room shook.
Yeah. Dear, you are terrible.
Dear turned and laughed rather than going to help.
Jeez. No, because I think the worst thing was I just saw her look of disbelief.
No.
As she was standing up.
Did you fall on your front or your side or your back?
I don't even know. I feel like I fell on my side and then I rolled and then I was up in like a second. So it all happened so fast.
Stop, drop, and roll.
Who cares? Welcome to the team.
Yeah, this is it. This is where it all happens. All right, Nola's taking your calls, by the way. Yeah, if you're wondering, then she's she's waiting there for you. 0861-555-189. Like Dave just called, you can call in too. All right.
Just by the way, on Dave's call quickly, that email address doesn't exist that you gave out. It's info@cartesian.co.za.
There we go. Sorry, info@cartesian.co.za. Mm-hmm. So these billboards that ABSA have put up, I just want to know what they're thinking. Ben, you were in advertising.
Well, Gareth, it's all about your image.
But hello, Midrand. What does that mean? That doesn't mean anything.
Well, it goes back to the fact that their big tagline, I think, is Africanicity or something. So they want to be a part of communities. They want to be part of your life. They want to be part of your hood, all that kind of stuff. Okay. So they're rebranding, and when you rebrand, you need an opportunity to basically say what you're about.
Yeah.
So if you have a new brand, people are going to go, oh, well, who are you nowadays? These are how these meetings go. And billboards like Hello Midrand is ABSA's way of saying, hi, we're here, but we're more here than ever before.
Oh, God. All right.
Of course, I just made that completely up.
Did you? Did you just make that up?
Of course. Do you think I've wanted to this kind of stuff? So if you are from ABSA listening and I got that completely wrong, well,
Too bad.
Too bad. You
didn't explain it.
You got a free plug.
Just says, hello, Midrand. How exciting. An exciting billboard. Can you imagine how much it costs? It's hundreds of thousands of rands to put up a billboard like that. Hello, Midrand. Hello, hi. Yeah, you know, what are people waving at the billboard from their cars? All right. Interesting stuff going on. So Trevor Noah. And you know, this happens. This happens rather more often than any of us would like. He's in trouble over something he said in 2013. And I'll read you some of the comments that people are making now, but here's what the actual joke was. Right, this is it.
All women of every race can be beautiful. Yeah. And I know some of you are sitting there now going, oh, Trevor, yeah, but I've never seen a beautiful Aborigine. Yeah, but you know what you say? You say yet. That's what you say. Yet. Because you haven't seen all of them, right? And plus, it's not always about looks. Yeah. Maybe Aborigine women do special things. Yes. Maybe they'll just like jump on top of you and just be like, whoa, whoa.
Okay, so that was apparently the problem, that he said that about an Aboriginal. Well, he said that about Aborigine women. All women of every race can be beautiful. And I know some of you sitting here going, oh, Trevor, I've never seen a beautiful Aborigine, but you know what you say. You say yet, because you haven't seen all of them yet, right? So someone called Levon Babongal, I kid you not, that's a, oh, sorry, Levon Babongi.
Oh.
Said, are you laughing?
It sounds funny. It sounds so funny.
It's her name. She's going to be offended at you next. So Levon Babongi says, well, this is horrible. I'm surrounded by countless beautiful Aboriginal women at Trevor Noah. Hashtag boycott Trevor Noah. Mm-hmm. And then another woman says this. This is Dr. Anita Heiss. I'm so disgusted. Because they always sound like this when you meet them. Oh. People who complain and who are outraged. They always sound like this. You know what I mean? I am so disgusted and appalled by the comments of Trevor Noah and his attempted humor that denigrates Aboriginal women. I hope Australians boycott his shows in hashtag Brisbane, hashtag Sydney, hashtag Melbourne, hashtag Perth, hashtag Australia. That kind of, in inverted commas, humor is not funny and does damage. Hashtag racism stops with me. Well, thank God for you, Dr. Anita Hayes. Otherwise, racism would never have stopped. Because it stops with it, yeah. You. Thank God for you. You're great. Joe Williams says, hey, at Trevor Noah, your comments about Aboriginal hashtag Indigenous X in this clip are utterly unacceptable. As a man of color, you are usually on point with sarcasm. Oh, God. See, by saying as a man of color, you're expecting him to behave a certain way, which is so racist. As a man of... The minute anyone says that to you, you should be very suspicious of them. As someone of color, whether they're speaking about themselves or someone else, because they're about to claim a whole lot of stuff that they didn't necessarily ask the rest of their race about. I'm going to say something now as a person of color. Hang on, I just need to check with the millions and millions of other people of color in the world who might or might not agree with me, but I'm about to make a statement that blankets all of them, because that's how we rule. That's how we run. That's how things happen. It's revolting. This is revolting. Poor Trevor Noah now has to explain himself over this joke, which was part of his comedy act on a stage in Australia, in South Africa in 2013. And yes, it's probably tasteless, it's probably offensive. The world is offensive, you douchebags. Get over yourselves. You're going to go out into the world today and not everyone is going to like you. Some people may dislike your height. Some people may dislike your skin color. Some people may dislike the color of your shoes. Some people might dislike the smell of your breath. Oh. There are lots of things that you may have to cope with today that involve other people not necessarily saying great things about you the whole time. And you know what comedians are paid to do? Be funny. And you know what jokes are? They're usually at someone's expense. Maybe today it's not your turn. Maybe tomorrow it's someone else's turn. But this is important. This is really, really important. Trevor Noah is a comedian. You are allowed to tell jokes if you're a comedian. How is this difficult for people to comprehend in 2018? And to go and troll the internet. Someone went to the trouble of finding this clip so that they could expose and out Trevor Noah as a racist.
Yeah, and show who he really is. back in 2013.
He's a terrible person. All of the stuff, all the good things that he's done since and all the good things he did before don't matter because it's all about this one comment about Aboriginal women. I'm so tired of this outrage stuff. And you know what? Anyone who puts hashtag racism stops with me on their timeline better have stopped racism, because otherwise I'm going to come and find you and check.
But this has also got to do with the mob and like leftist people and stuff. You know, they're so quick to jump on the bandwagon and just hurt each other. Like the mob turns on itself all the time. It's like a really bad game of Pac-Man. Just munch, 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 munch.
Trevor has responded. He said, you're right. After visiting Australia's, you see, this is what you're forced to do. You're forced to prostrate yourself in front of this mob and beg forgiveness. And poor Trevor's fallen for it. He should just carry on doing what he's doing. But
yeah, you do. You have to go full Sashi Naidu.
Here you go. Yeah, full Sashi Naidu. He's gone, you're right. After visiting Australia's Bunja Naika Museum and learning about Aboriginal history firsthand, I vowed never to make a joke like that again, and I haven't. I mean, he's wringing his hands here. This is so sad. And I haven't. I'll make sure the clip from 2013 is not promoted in any way. Which is why I struggled to get the clip just now, because it's been taken down everywhere. But I found it, so you can. Noting that the video had been taken down, Williams, that's the guy who complained, said he was waiting to see if Noah would let me take him to community for some cultural awareness. Oh my God, really? You really think that Trevor said this because he doesn't care about Aboriginal women? He was joking about them in that line. Next thing, he could have been telling a joke about me or CL Ben. He doesn't need to be brought to our house and spend an hour with us in order to be culturally sensitized to our condition so that he can go out there and be a funnier comedian. Whoever you are, Joe Williams, I think he's some ex-rugby player.
It's so important for Joe Williams to see, like,
such a big deal.
He's like the beacon of virtue.
He's going to help Trevor Noah become a better person. You know, Joe Williams, suck a bag of dicks. He's a former Australian National Rugby League player. Former, so he's got nothing to do. He's like so many other former sportsmen. He's wandering around looking for virtue points. He posted the video. So what I love about this is that people who post this, they don't want us to hear offensive things, but they're the ones posting it. If something's offensive, why do you keep spreading it? If you think something's revolting and we shouldn't have to hear it, then why are you spreading it around, Joe Williams?
Because none of us have ever spoken about this until this point, until Joe put it out there.
Well, thank you, Joe. You look at what wonderful things you've done. And then Noah responded that he would visit the Aboriginal. Now he has to go and visit some goddamn community.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Can you imagine? He has to schlep out into the Australian outback and spend the day with a bunch of people who don't even know who he is.
Yeah, but also, guys, when you are teamwork,
I'd love to visit. Here, listen to this. I'd love to visit another community in Oz, Joe. Always open to learning more. Oy, 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 oy. However, and now everybody else climbs on. You see, the revolution will eat its children. Social media users began to unearth some of Noah's older and more controversial tweets, including a reference to the infamous domestic violence episode between Chris Brown and Rihanna. There's a Trevor Noah tweet that goes, Chris Brown's Fame album is number one on iTunes. Rihanna is cancelling shows due to poor sales. I guess he beat her up again. So, listen. Stop it. This outrage stuff is ridiculous. People are sick of it. You are boring us to death with your outrage. Nobody cares that you're outraged or offended. Nobody cares. Nobody. Not Joe doesn't. Joe's not going to sleep tonight worrying about Trevor's joke, trust me. And those Aboriginal women who were the object of his joke, they don't even... Me don't know Trevor Noah. Where Trevor Noah come from? They don't know him. They don't care about the Daily Show or what routine he did on a stage in South Africa in 2013. Get over yourselves. And anyone else, if you choose to be offended on someone else's behalf, ask their permission. Get 1,000 signatures before you decide to be outraged on someone else's behalf, will you? And until then, shut up. Get a job. Former rugby league player. and get a job. Find something useful to do with your time. I'm sure that the Aboriginal women of the Outback really appreciate you, Joe. What would they do without you? With your soft bigotry of low expectations that you've nominated yourself as the spokesperson for Aboriginal women. Show me the pamphlet where they said to you, yeah, you go represent us. I don't see it, Joe. And I'm not jumping to Trevor's defense here just because he's South African and just because I like him and just because he's funny. Because Trevor's done this to other people too. He's told people what's appropriate and inappropriate. You know what the nice thing about humor is? Everybody has a different sense of it. Some people like dark humor. They like dangerous stuff. Some people like to laugh at stupid slapstick stuff. Everybody has a different setting for humor. And nobody should be telling you what you should and shouldn't find funny. It's like they shouldn't be telling you what to think. Get over yourselves. Someone says, yeah, look at these lefties eating themselves. Mm-hmm. That's about right. That's exactly what's happening. Yep, it's all happening. It's very exciting. So I just thought I'd bring that to your attention today, just in case you didn't have a reason to get cross with somebody. Poor old Trevor Noah is dealing with his own. All right, there's a couple other things we need to talk about. Okay. Where do we begin? Let me just see what I've got here for you. There was a story that we didn't get to a little earlier on. And I mentioned that the Vendor Bank, you know, the VBS Bank, they've just built this huge campus, or they've taken over a campus here at the Rivonia Road off-ramp. You can see it if you drive past it. So it seems they still have money. The VBS Bank is trying to rebuild following its financial crash, allegedly due to mass-scale fraud. It will take Robert Madzonga to court in an attempt to have his estate placed under provisional sequestration. The bank has targeted him because he is the former CEO of Vela Investments, the bank's main shareholder, after he allegedly dipped into hundreds of millions of rands in funds belonging to depositors of the bank to finance his lifestyle. This is finally what we need to have happen. These people who've stolen from Eskom, from depositors at the VBS Bank, from SAA, from various places in the bureaucracy, they all need to have the opportunity now to give the money back or go to jail, right?
Sounds fair.
Because then we could take that money and we can, you know, put it into restoring some of the ugliness in our health system, our public health system, which is falling apart. We can use it to help educate more kids. We can build some houses. We can lay down some electricity infrastructure. Wouldn't that be great? Don't you think?
Yes. Yeah, that would be nice. Sounds fair.
So let's get the money back. So this guy enjoyed an after-tax monthly income. After tax, he got 400,000 rand a month. After tax.
Outrageous.
400,000 rand a month. He also got a travel allowance of 100,000 rand a month. He received a further 15 million from VBS. This was first transferred to Vele and then to another company, finally deposited into Madzonga's account. The money was used to pay for six of his cars, which are worth more than 8 million rand, his 213,000 rand monthly bond, and occasional dinners at Gianni's Ristorante, which is an upmarket seafood eatery in Belito. Madzonga's cars and property all financed by VBS. According to Sunday newspaper Vavenda, King Tony Mpepu Ramabulana has also been implicated, and the splurge took place while Andile Ramavunga was the chief executive of VBS. So they're going after those guys too. Now, this is good. I mean, we've got to get these people. It's no good that we just say, oh, it's outrageous that poor people have been ripped off by the bank and the bank should have to pay back their deposit. Because now, of course, it's a taxpayer's problem, right?
Sure.
Because the Treasury has guaranteed this. That's what Anthea explained to us the other day. So if you're a tax-paying South African, your money is going to the people who deposited their money into VBS and had it stolen. Doesn't seem right. But at least these people won't be left high and dry. Now what we've got to do, the next part of this, is we've got to go after the people who did steal the money. Because you can follow money these days. It's not like they withdrew it in an ATM under a false name and disappeared and ran out of the country. We can follow the electronic trail. This is not a difficult thing to do. We can find out who's got the money now, and we can get it back.
But it has to happen like this, and it has to be a very public thing, because there seems to be this mindset that you can just steal in this country.
Right.
And it's like, you know, like you create certain norms in the world. And this story is so heartbreaking because it's just one of many. It's like this entitlement just so now entrenched. It's like, well, I stole because everyone else does.
It's very scary. And obviously this is just a very well-known story now from VBS Bank. Who knows about how many other people have had their livelihoods taken away from them by government corruption? Think of how many people who are dependent on the state. It's a horrible thing to be dependent on the state. That's like being born to an abusive father. But if you're dependent on the state and someone's ripping off the state, what they're really doing is they're putting you at the back of the queue.
Sure.
It's not great. It really is. It's a tough situation.
But it's becoming the norm for all these people in these positions.
Yeah, damn right. So initial findings of the investigation are made available to the curator of the South African Reserve Bank. The curator has used these preliminary findings from the investigation to launch urgent applications to take steps to recover monies owed to VBS. That's what Lesetse Kanyago of the South African Reserve Bank had to say. They are doing an investigation into alleged wide-scale fraud at VBS, which was ongoing and is expected to be concluded by September of this year. The Reserve Bank also announced that VBS would be placed under curatorship as the mutual bank was facing a liquidity crisis. So that's the latest update there. The application for provisional sequestration will be heard in the South Gauteng High Court on Tuesday. What do you think of that, Ben? Get back the money.
Yeah, it's getting justice to be sharper towards these crooks.
Yeah. We've got to get the cat. And by the way, I would rather see the money come back than them go to jail. I'm not that interested in whether or not they go to jail. What I'm interested in, and I assume this is true for a lot of us, is that this money that was stolen comes back. Put it to good use. Give it to the people who it was stolen from. Right?
Yeah. Again, it's just a lot of sense. More tax money getting pissed away because someone stole.
Yeah. Please, here's some messages that are coming through. By the way, you can message us on 0797482090. Gareth, I agree with this VBS comment. Okay, thank you very much. It's always good if someone agrees. Mm-hmm. And then there's someone over
here.
That's
Brian.
That's Brian from East London, who didn't like my comments about East London. We addressed that in the first half hour of the show. By the way, Nolo is from East London. Nolo, you're very proudly from East London.
Yes, I am. I mean, that's where I was born. What can I say?
How many times have you been back to beautiful East London?
In the last... Shit. In the past 25 years... Once.
Really?
Yes.
Sure, so you miss it a lot, don't you? That's great. All right. You know, we do this thing where we don't turn a blind eye to certain things that are in the news, and mm-hmm. VBS Bank is one of them, obviously, but we're not turning a blind eye to the fact that Donald Trump, who makes the news every single day, he's got a trade war going on. Anthea told us about this yesterday in the Money Shot. Let's not turn a blind eye this morning to Trump's aluminium trade war and the way that that affects us as South Africans. Well, you know, what Trump's done is he's hiked up tariffs on imports to America of aluminium and steel. Taylor Blinds and Shutters import their aluminium from the East. As part of their futures indicators, they're addressing issues like, is there an alternative to aluminium? Well, what do we like about aluminium? I mean, let's be serious for a second here. You know, I'm a bit of an inorganic chemist, and I like the periodic table, and aluminium is an element.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you like aluminium?
It's silver.
It's
shiny.
Yes, Ben, that's a good one. It's shiny because it's a metal.
Yes.
Also, it's lightweight.
Ben, you're so proud of yourself.
There are only two metal elements that are light enough and non-reactive enough to be used at that point in the periodic table. And they're neighbors by a bit of a gap, but they're magnesium and aluminium. Aluminium is very lightweight. The reason it's non-reactive, it's actually quite a reactive metal, but it has a layer of oxide on it, which you can't even see. It's invisible. And that oxide layer protects the aluminium from reacting. So that's why we can make a laptop out of it. We can make these microphone stands out of it. I'm just looking around me now, and there's aluminium on the desk.
Soft like drink this. Cans.
Yes, they do use aluminium in those. We use there's aluminium everywhere. Aluminium is a very useful metal. So if we didn't use aluminium, what else would we use? We could use magnesium. It's very flammable, though. So that's not normally a good choice if something's going to be flammable. Let's carry on with the table from there on. So it goes steel. Magnesium, aluminium, steel. Steel is a
heavy.
Steel's heavy, contains iron. Steel is not always an appropriate metal to use for appliances, lightweight articles. Certainly not for doors and shutters and blinds like Taylor Blinds make. Mm-hmm. Aluminium's the best because you don't need seven men to open or close a shutter. You want to be able to do it yourself, right?
Ideally.
So aluminium is probably the best. And there are local aluminium manufacturers. And the product is as good if it's made in South Africa. If not, how does the potential price hike impact the consumer? Well, some companies are increasing their aluminium prices now. Taylor are not. Consumers need to be careful around this issue. Companies should not be raising their prices unfairly yet. So if you want to know more about this, I mean, I'm always fascinated by this stuff, and I think that there are things about South Africa that we could be very proud of. One of them is that we still manufacture a lot of these kinds of things, and certainly Taylor Blinds and Shutters do, in this country. I heard Donald Trump, the guy we're talking about this morning because of this trade war, he was going, I used to see a lot of Made in America signs when I was a kid, and I don't see them around anymore. We're bringing that back. Well, I'm proud that there are things that are made in South Africa that we could be very impressed
by. It is. It's kind of rare because government hasn't exactly done much to help local production in a variety of sectors. So the fact that this is still happening in Taylor Blinds is great.
Well done to Taylor Blinds and Shutters. And by the way, every Tuesday we don't turn a blind eye to issues that affect all of us. Make sure you download the podcast on cliffcentral.com now. Don't Turn a Blind Eye To is brought to you by Taylor Blinds and Shutters. Taylor's Shutter Guard aluminium security shutters are the perfect way to enjoy some shut eye because safety should always come first. Find out more at cliffcentral.com.
Well, the truth is, when America sneezes, the rest of the world catches the flu. The cold, we do understand that. So when there are now these hikes and these tariffs involved, yeah, because I wonder what's going to happen.
It affects the prices, Sia.
Particularly, it was aluminium and steel imports from Canada and Mexico and
to
the
America,
EU.
Not to us. So they say we're not going to be affected. I want to introduce you to somebody who I've been going to see this man for probably about 4.5 years now, and he has improved my life in leaps and bounds. He's made it possible for me to smile without children running and screaming and calling their parents.
Oh, really? No, really.
He's improved everything about Dr. Flax, it is a pleasure to have you here.
Thanks so much for having me, Gareth.
Dr. Stephen Flax, he actually works just across the road here. This wasn't too far for you to walk.
No, absolutely. didn't have to stress this morning too much to
so
get you.
I was told about you by a friend of mine, and she said you have to go and see this Dr. Flax because I had a mouth that looked like I could eat through a tennis racket.
If not worse. It's like one of the worst I've seen.
The worst you've ever seen. I went to see Dr. Flax, and he pretty much called everybody in the whole office to come in. He said, come and look at this monstrosity.
Oh, my goodness.
So this is Frankenstein. Come and see this. I was going, I'm not an animal, like the elephant man. And he was holding my mouth open and showing everybody. Because he said to me, you shouldn't have to walk around with teeth that are crooked. There is no reason for anyone to have to do this these days. I wasn't a good kid. My parents got me braces when I was a kid. I never wore the damn things.
That's for sure.
The doctor is on a roll today.
This doctor, you see why I like him? He doesn't bullshit you. He goes straight to the crux. So I went to see Dr. Flax. Let me give you this story. This is my sad story, all right? This is how The monster went and got cured. So what happened was I walked in there. I thought, oh, no, this is going to be terrifying. What he's going to do is he's going to tell me I need to go for massive reconstructive surgery. He's going to chop my jaw out and put a new one in. Oh. I got there, and he had this product, which I've been quiet about for the last 4.5 years because we wanted to have results that we could demonstrate. And I don't know if you've noticed, but if you compare any pictures of me or if you watch old episodes of Idols on TV, because they still recycle those every now and then, you'll see I didn't have the best smile in the world. And Dr. Flack said to me, don't worry, we've got a thing that can sort this out. And he actually, he brought this product along with, I think it's your daughter, right?
Yep, Savannah.
Yeah.
Although we don't have anything to do with each other now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she brought it into South Africa. Although I first started doing it in the year 2001, where I saw a gap for this and went to the UK to bring it into South Africa.
Well, it's funny because last year when I was in Amsterdam, I saw them advertising all over in Amsterdam. It's called Invisalign. And what it is, it's this plastic retainer that you put on your teeth, and it makes little movements. It moves this that way and this the other way, and it pushes this in and pulls that out and sorts out your mouth, your teeth, over an extended period of time. And it does it in a very gradual way, so it actually makes sure that the bone and the gums and everything else catch up.
Yeah. With biological forces, so it's very, the algorithm for moving the teeth is very much within biological limits. So it's very, very passively active on your teeth and is least likely to cause any damage to your teeth along the way.
So I have to admit that I never really was bothered by my teeth because I'd kind of accepted that that was how I would look, and I just smiled with my mouth closed, and it was something that wasn't ideal, but I thought, oh, I'll be fine because I've got strong teeth and they've served me well. I thought rather than having anything dramatic happen, I'm going to just leave it. But the real reason to do this is, from my point of view, that you want to have a healthy set of teeth into old age, right?
Absolutely.
And if you have a bad bite, let's say you grind your teeth, or you've got a bad bite in the front and you can't chew your food properly, they're going to end up with major problems.
Absolutely. So orthodontics in general, whether it be Invisalign, braces, whatever technique you're being treated with, the overall reason, or the major reason that you're doing it, is to preserve your teeth into old age. I'm going to call it a good benefit or side effect, is the fact that you're going to look nice.
Yeah.
Obviously, a lot of people do come to the orthodontist to have straight teeth because they seek to look nice.
Mm-hmm.
But the real, real benefit is that we as orthodontists can't treat one without the other. You've got to make the teeth straight so that they function correctly.
That's right.
And then you're not going to crack teeth. You're less likely to have fillings. You're not less likely to have jaw problems. And then, yes, absolutely, you're going to look fantastic. So this is the real overall benefit of orthodontics, but really just a little bit to get away from the fact that it's only to look nice, because it's not.
No. I wanted to have a healthy dental arrangement for the rest of my life. I didn't want to have false teeth one day and all of that stuff, because a lot of people, if you don't look after them when you're young, you're going to end up with problems when you're old.
And I'm also going to say that, Gareth, I mean, you obviously were amazing and confident, etc. But a lot of people, when their smiles are not good or have severe bite problems, they're actually not confident. They are held back in
life.
And by fixing their smile and making themselves more confident, more outgoing, they're much more likely, and the research has shown absolutely, to achieve in life. So it's not, once again, only for straightening the teeth. Psychologically,
absolutely,
it's a benefit.
And you know what else it did for me? Yeah. It stopped migraines.
Oh.
I mean, I can't prove this conclusively, but if you have a bite that isn't right, it can have all kinds of effects. And they're doing research now. I know the guys at the headache clinic are busy figuring this stuff out as we speak. That, again, if you have... If you have some kind of a problem with your bite, what happens is that you can develop headaches as a result of that. We know that. That's
absolutely
already proven.
Sure.
So don't get those anymore. Touch wood. So there's a lot of good reasons to do this.
Absolutely.
And these days people don't run and scream and holler that monster. They don't say monster when I walk into the room anymore.
Well, look it's at your good. Smile now. Look
yeah,
at
it's hey, much improved.
What are you guys?
But so the interesting thing is, so it's 4.5 years we've been doing this, and I don't know how many of these Invisalign things I've been through, but you keep wanting to make it even better and even better.
Okay, so I'm going to clarify a little bit on your case. Your case is probably the most extreme I've ever treated.
See?
Okay.
Told you, so, I'm a monster.
Oh, sucks.
So, now listen to this.
So in reality, Gareth, when he came, ideally
he dropped his tools.
Had a fit, ran around the surgery. Called him, yes, as you said, summoned everybody.
He said, come and look at this freak show.
And the classic treatment for you would have been braces or Invisalign and then a surgical procedure because his bite was so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, with Invisalign, I have personally great success in closing what's called a big open bite. So, for those of you who don't know, Gareth's teeth only touched at the back.
Right.
He literally had no other contact.
Shocking, right?
Between his top and bottom teeth.
Like a horse.
My horse's teeth looked good.
Wait, sorry, doctor, to ask such basic questions.
Yeah.
So, sure. For an ordinary person,
right,
your top and bottom teeth must touch from the back right up to the front.
There's even contact all the way around.
Yes.
Okay, so if. Okay.
So when your teeth are closed, when your mouth is closed,
mm-hmm.
all the teeth should evenly be contacting from right from the one side to the other side.
Okay.
Okay. But, you know, obviously within that there are also various other types of problems which do need correction when there's crowding, skewed teeth.
Mm-hmm.
There's even an opposite problem when your bite is too deep. Your bite cover, your top teeth cover your bottom teeth too much.
Yeah. People don't know this stuff.
So, okay. So all of this can be corrected with Invisalign. Okay.
So what these things are, and I went for, as I said, I don't know how many of them, but there's been a lot. And we've managed to, I mean, now it looks pretty normal, actually. Yeah. And you still want to do some refinement and get it exactly the way you want. But I'm thrilled. I mean, it's been a long and complicated and disciplined process. And I've enjoyed every step of it because I can see the improvements being made almost daily.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Gives you massive nachas. I feel happy. I smile at myself in the mirror sometimes and don't scream. It's amazing.
I do want to say that he doesn't smile enough.
No, I know.
I still got to teach him to use his smile
but
muscle.
You know I've got to take photos of him every day. Yeah. I know what you're saying.
But you know why, Dr.
Smile
Flax?
When he's smiling.
I've given up.
Dr. Flax, can you fix the rest of my face? Is the question.
No. This is a limit to what I can do.
No, I mean, there's a limit to how much I can be pleased with myself. Now I'm happy with the mouth, but the, you know, the rest, we've still got a lot of work to
do. The rest pretty good. So, can I get back to, because I don't want to confuse people,
yes. mm-hmm.
that Gareth's treatment has taken a long time. That's not the average treatment time.
No, sure.
Okay, so with Invisalign, one of the great things, if you have the full Invisalign, is that Invisalign provides as many aligners, which are the small, clear, thin gum guards that fit over your teeth.
People don't even know you're wearing them.
Yeah, and you don't know that. And every 2 weeks or 10 days or even once a week, you get a new one.
Right.
So on average, treatment could be 10 months to 15 months. That would be my average treatment time. But because Gareth was so difficult,
jeez, he made that emphasis.
He's basically used his Invisalign treatment to its optimum. Okay, but
you are literally referring to him like a broken piano.
That's kind of how it was, Ben. I'm glad that you noticed. Here is an actual interview. This is me answering questions when Dr. Flax first asked me something. So we managed to sort that out. But this is an interesting product. I mean, I don't want to turn this into an advertorial because I think for a lot of people, they might not know about this and it might be a way for them to do things. I always hated the idea of braces because I was presenting radio shows, television, and it changes the way you speak, right? And it's a problem. You can't be in media and do that. So for me, it was a particular concern. But for a lot of people, it's also – it's maybe – complicated, difficult, has to do with confidence. Some people don't like it. Braces are still a great way of doing these things, but this is another way to do it. How long is the average treatment?
Yeah, once again, I'm going to say, well, you say use the word average, but I'm going to say with braces, my treatment times used to be 18 months to 2 years. Mm-hmm. Now with Invisalign, and it's the latest generation of Invisalign, it's as little as 6 to 12 months.
Wow. Okay?
And a fairly difficult case is up to 15 months. So really, the old, let's call it, dogma where it was a two-year treatment doesn't hold anymore. And the better you are with wearing them, the quicker your treatment can go. So, as I say, absolutely, my treatment times on average are 12 months.
Okay. And have you got lots of people on this already in South Africa? I mean, in your practice, how many people do you see?
Gareth, difficult to say, but overall, I've done more than 1,400 cases. So I am going to say that, yeah, I'm the leading provider in Africa.
Yeah.
But in the world to date, more than 5.5 million people have been treated with Invisalign, which really is incredible. It's available in 45 countries throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, listen, I just love Invisalign.
No, well,
patients just love it. They smile. They enjoy it. There's no stress for me. They go to work as normal. It literally, for them,
it fits into your life.
It fits into your life. It does not change anything. So whereas you normally would have to have braces, now you can have Invisalign. Oh, you got an evening out. You're getting married. You take it out for the day.
Yeah. Because you can, when you're eating dinner or whatever, you take
absolutely.
Them out.
So it really, you must take it out to eat and brush teeth.
Absolutely.
So it really, really fits in.
A lot of people have questions and they ask me these things. And now that you're here, yeah. I can ask you so that I get the right answer. So how often do you need to go and see the doctor?
Well, I normally see my patients every 6 to 8 weeks. So you don't have to come to the practice to get your new aligner. We normally provide you with up to 6,
mm-hmm.
and you change them yourself at home.
Right.
So it's great for if you're traveling, you don't have to worry about it. Nothing breaks. It's mm-hmm. it's really incredible it's from like that
a,
point of view.
It's yeah. like a flexible plastic, and it's actually, 3D printed?
Yeah. So the technology is amazing. It's Invisalign or Align technology has the biggest, and this is categorical, 3D printing lab in the world. They're the biggest users of 3D printing in the world. And I think I may have mentioned, but they make 300,000 aligners per day. Per day.
When you say gum guard, I have the picture
it's a clear plastic thing, Sia, that it goes over your teeth back and front, mm-hmm. and it moves them in very slow, gentle processes. Like each week there is a certain movement it's trying to achieve. And a computer figures out, this is what's so incredible about it. This is where technology has made this possible. Before it wasn't, because it would cost millions and you would have to go to the same doctor every week to have these things done. What the computer does is it plots where it wants the tooth to move or mm-hmm. the teeth to move, what it wants to adjust. And then it figures out step by step what you need to do over a period of, let's say, 20 of these.
Mm-hmm.
You're changing them every week. What you need to, where it needs to move these things. How the little bit of movement on the left or the right, top or the bottom or wherever it is, has to happen. And it just gradually moves them. It's incredible.
Okay, so you say thin, and apart from the eating when you had to take mm-hmm. it out, you go about your daily life, yeah. speaking and interacting mm-hmm. with people with this on. Correct. So there's no great amount of discomfort.
So imagine a glove mm-hmm. over your teeth. That's how it fits.
Okay.
It's really, really thin.
It fits and precisely
over your teeth. And literally, I always tell my patients, go home, and I challenge anybody, see if your family says, are you wearing something?
Yeah. Oh, it's not even that visible.
It's really almost invisible. Okay. It's almost invisible. I mean, you know, sitting across the table like we are, you would not see it. But if somebody is really staring, often what happens is patients from a particular law firm or whatever, one goes And then all of a sudden, somebody will say to them, what's happened to your teeth? And they'll say, oh, I've been using Invisalign. And there comes the next patient because they say, geez, I didn't even know you had were having your teeth straightened. So there really, really is nothing better available in terms of straightening your teeth without people knowing about it.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't affect speech. I mean, I've got lawyers, advocates, people such as Gareth, people who need to speak every day using them, and mm-hmm. they don't need to take them out. So it doesn't affect your speech either.
So, Dr. Flax, I knew this was going to happen. Whenever we bring an expert into the studio, we get people who ask questions. So
sure.
this is someone who wants to know, what is your opinion when it gets to kids' braces? My 20-year-old still has 8 milk teeth, and his permanents are really skew. I mean, sorry, my 10-year-old, she says, not my 20-year-old. What do you do?
Okay, so if there's a new, well, fairly new Invisalign called Invisalign Teen, which started in about 2008. So, and in fact, as I said, 1st of July, they just started a new generation of Invisalign, whereby if you wanted Invisalign, they actually build it into the computer program that when the baby teeth fall out, it leaves space for the permanent ones to come through. And yes, after, let's call it maybe 1 year, we would need to rescan the teeth because they wouldn't come through exactly. And mm-hmm. you would get a new series of aligners to perfect everything at that point. But I am going to say just in general for a 10-year-old, I'm a strong believer in you seeing the orthodontist at that age. Because at that age, people often say, wait till all the big teeth out. But if you see an orthodontist at 10, 11, even 9 or 8, the orthodontist is able to adjust the growth of the jaw to prevent teeth from being extracted, and you get a much better result. Yes, you can extract permanent teeth later, but the reality is it's not just about straightening teeth. It's putting a beautiful smile on the face, getting the right smile within the right environment. And I also describe it as two people can paint a horse. One will paint a fantastic horse that's worth millions, and let's say a second orthodontist who may not be as good will straighten your teeth. But yes, it'll just look like a stick drawing of a horse. So there is a difference, and there can be a difference between the orthodontist that you choose to go to.
And it's never too late, right? I mean, you've got people coming in there in their 50s, 60s.
70s.
Wow.
Okay, not that many in 70s and 80s, but those that come in 70s or 80s normally have lost teeth, and then a prosthodontist has asked me or a orthodontist to create the correct spacing so that implants or bridges may be put in to restore them to health.
Did you always want to do this? I mean, being a dentist and orthodontist, this is tough work, and they say that your profession has the highest suicide rates. First of all, is that true?
Whoa.
I'm not going to say it's absolutely true, but look, I'm going to say dentistry itself is actually a tough profession.
It is hard.
It's not an easy sell. It's a grudge purchase from the patient normally, dentistry, because you've got pain, you go in, it's not like buying a new car.
People hate it.
Okay, and they do hate it. It's painful. Not always today. It has changed a little bit. So it is really a stressful profession. However, I'm going to say I'm fortunate. I'm an orthodontist, and I believe that it's a fantastic profession because you're making people smile. You're making them enjoy what they've done. I see the reward.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. So my profession, or orthodontics, is wonderful. Okay, and
you actually improve people's lives. Look, you've done it for me.
Yeah.
Do you want my skull when I'm dead so that you can show people what an incredible job
donated to medical research.
I like the way you think this is so funny. am I your most complicated case ever?
Oh, yeah, no. Probably.
Oh, wow, that's fantastic. I'm
well, let's say most complicated case ever that I've treated without surgery.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud to be that case.
Okay.
Anybody want to show Dr. Flax their teeth? Ben, smile for Dr. Flax. Give a diagnosis there quickly. Go.
I had bad lower teeth, and then I got like the industrial braces, not the fancy ones that Gareth got. Yeah. And that was
Ben got the old 18th century one.
That was like a year of my life. But now there's still this like wire on the back here.
Yeah.
And that's obviously try to hold it in place.
Which is the correct thing to do.
But does that stay for life? I mean, my orthodontist was telling me, but I lost interest in him halfway through the process. I don't know. Just communication-wise, there was a breakdown. I mean,
a retainer really, in the US they say your retainer becomes your pajamas.
Yeah,
because, so rather leave it in because, yes, throughout life, like any other part of your body, it does require maintenance.
Yeah.
So the only time I would recommend taking out that wire, and it sometimes is patient dependent or dentist dependent, is if you're not able to keep that area clean.
See,
because
that's my issue.
Get caries. Yeah.
That's my issue with the flossing.
Yeah. You should still be able to floss, although it is troublesome. But if you can keep it clean. But the alternative would be to get an Invisalign type of retainer. Take the wire out, get an Invisalign type of retainer, which you just clip on every night. So Invisalign also, if you have a scan, you can get a retainer made. Or just a normal one that is made, let's call it locally in South Africa, by our laboratories.
Right.
So you don't have to go and have a sophisticated Invisalign retainer made.
Sia, what about you? Smile. Sia's got perfect teeth. Look at that. Well, pretty damn good. He really does. Look at them.
Oh, the doctor's about to like raid on my parade right now. It's like, I see this. Is there a problem?
A little bit difficult to see from here. I'm back together, Sia.
Uh-huh.
Yo, look at his canine on the lower left-hand side. It sticks out. It's on the wrong side.
He's going to kill himself.
Doctor, in terms of a bright, shiny smile.
That's pretty good.
I would consider getting porcelain veneers one day.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. Because, if you went to any good dentist, you've got lovely teeth, and there's no point in even roughening the surface of the teeth and having veneers. It's not a thing that just automatically makes your teeth smile. There's margins of your gums, and obviously the guys are very good, but the first choice is orthodontics in terms of straightening, correcting. You can bleach your teeth before you went to the extent of having veneers. Veneers would be if you've cracked your teeth, broken them, they chipped, the shape is wrong. But yours look pretty good.
And there's nothing wrong with whitening your teeth, right?
No, there's nothing wrong with it, provided you go to the right people and you do not overdo it.
Once a year?
No.
Jesus, yeah, what are you doing?
Normally once you would do it initially and then thereafter take advice from your practitioner. And I'm not an expert in tooth whitening, so... you could go to somebody. Your dentist normally is, the right material, correct place to go, and obviously they would then give you advice on tooth whitening. But I let my daughters have tooth whitening when they were 13, and they have not done it since then. Mm. And they were 20, and they're 27 now. So you do it if necessary, but you don't just do tooth whitening. Yeah,
all right, so
I mean, it's like if you with your black hair went and had it peroxided to go blonde once a year, you're going to mess up your hair.
They do use peroxide.
Yeah,
they use hydrogen peroxide.
Yeah. A percentage of it.
Okay, doctor. Then
I wouldn't overdo it.
They're all lining up for pre-consultations here. We're all schnorrer in this building. So, Spongile, what we got going on here?
Nobody scream, okay?
Okay, go.
I can't even
open. No, Spongile. Please go walk right from here to my office right now.
You see what I mean? I think I'm the worst compared to Garrett. You really didn't have to.
Let's get it fixed.
Spongile.
Walk to my office right
now. Please don't laugh at me.
You got to walk into the street.
I know, I've been
walk into the street
there.
And wait for a bus to hit you. Hey, I didn't say it.
No, give you a beautiful smile.
I've been passing there, trying to get in, but I'm always coming here. I don't. But
we'll leave 5 minutes earlier. We'll make a plan for you.
Spongile. All right. Nolo, you're going to take a moment. All right. What do you got going on there, Nolo? What's wrong?
Situation going on here.
What's the situation? Oy. What's happening?
What is it with here at Cliff Central that all the canines are at the wrong place? Is it a prerequisite to to work here.
We may have crooked teeth, but we're not crooked people.
No. Thank you. And also, like, my jaw locks every night, so when I wake up, like, it's still locked as we speak. So depending on the time that it decides to unlock,
so you're a case that Gareth talked about where you needed your treatment done to get your function of your jaw. Basically, the gears of your car, the gears of your jaw are not working and not fitting together correctly. And as a result, every time you're crunching your jaw joint, and that's causing problems in the long run.
That's very bad.
So you do need to have the fit corrected. And that most likely will correct your problem.
Sure. Wow. Well, this has been a great ego boost. So, Doc, are there people who are just born with, like, perfectly aligned teeth?
Yes, there are. Look, I can't give you South African statistics, but in America, they say 60% of people would benefit from orthodontics. That doesn't mean that 60% have. And 60% would benefit in that they would move their teeth and then not crack them, not have fillings, and would prevent damage in the long run. So, but yes, but also unfortunately, genetics has just not provided us a situation where all teeth fit together correctly, and people say why? Well, unfortunately, why do we get disease?
People used to die from their teeth.
Well, you think of an elephant. You know, when they lose or damage their teeth, they can't masticate, and then they do die of hunger and starvation. So, and certainly in years gone by. Obviously, today with the advent of implants, it's fantastic that you can restore your teeth. And let's call it in first world, you can have your dentition restored.
Right.
Okay. And even if it's not first world, the masses can have a denture placed and you can still chew.
Yeah.
So
no, it's amazing what we can do now. So I mean, you used to, you know, people who did what you do now, 100 years ago, they used to have hammers and chisels. And
dentistry and orthodontics is not new. But
it's come a long way.
Absolutely.
I mean, the stuff if I just think about this Invisalign stuff that you got me doing and compare that to, as Ben said, the industrial type stuff that they used to do.
Absolutely.
It's incredible.
Yeah, I eventually paid Sanrail for my braces.
Wow. Well, they've got to make their money back somehow, Ben. Dr. Flax, you have improved my life with improving my smile, and I'm sure that you've done this for many multitudes of other people too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I think it's an incredible thing to be able to do that for people. It's life-changing. It really is.
It really is. Yeah.
So thank you, and I'm very glad we got to finally talk to you because people have been asking me, you look different. They say, oh, Gareth, you know, almost like they're relieved.
Now they can look at you.
Whereas before I was greeted with like a grimace or a scowl or screaming. So it's all changed, but thank you. Doc. All right, pop across the road and visit you. That's Dr. Stephen Flax, and you can find out more. I suppose the best place to go is what? You've got a website, or is there Invisalign? Or?
Well, you can just type in Stephen Flax or Big Smile.
There we go. Steven Flax, and you can find him on the internet, and then he can help you to sort out your smile as well.
Appreciate it, Doc.
Thanks, Doc. No problem. There we go. There's Dr. Stephen Flax. When we come back in a little while, I'm very excited to speak to our guest for this morning. Stuart Taylor is going to come by, and we're going to talk to him because he is part of the Big Five comedy show at the Teatro in Monte Cassino on July 27 and 28 at 8 p.m. among four other titans of South African stand-up. And we'll talk to him about the show, about what he's did. We haven't had him in here before. Not on this show, have we? Must have been a while ago. I don't remember. So we're going to get to that in just a little
while. You might have been away.
I've obviously met him before, but I don't think I've interviewed him before. So Stuart Taylor, our guest, next on cliffcentral.com. Here's the unnews. The important stuff you need to know before Stuart pops in. Trevor Noah is dealing with huge backlash from a 2013 joke about Aboriginal women. Noah is said to be quite surprised by this, as the mob is generally in his corner. He desperately wants this to return to that way. So he's apologized wherever he can and promised to go to Australia and be even more sorry. Plus, he's ordered his writers to up the ante on Trump jokes this week and also give whiteness a good go, as the mob likes things like that. Eskom's economic woes are said to be getting a whole lot worse before they can get any better. It turns out all the board members are driving 2017 cars. This has to be remedied immediately. A commission of inquiry needs to be set up to find out why their cars are a year old, and this may take between 12 and 18 months once they have made the appropriate appointments and terms of employment and the benefit structures that go with them. And finally, after a diabolical test series, Faf du Plessis and the Proteas are looking to reset and start afresh in the ODI series. Coach Otis Gibson is looking to do the same, but he still has no idea which bowlers to pick for the matches. But he has assured the media he will get to that the moment that he finally gets through to AB de Villiers, who hasn't been returning his calls for at least the last few weeks.
This is CliffCentral.com.